I'm with Rob Beale, managing partner of Maurice Owen. Rob, in terms of the economy, it's going to be really important from the government's perspective over the next year, 18 months, maybe up to 2 years, for them to really make sure that we recover from recession. It's quite interesting. Some of the commentary is that, you know, we're already starting to come out of recession. I'm not entirely sure, but obviously statistics and data can be used in different ways. Rishi Sunak, current PM, announced his sort of 5-point plan recently as to how he was going to get things back on track. Wasn't all the economy, but the majority of it was the economy. Just like to talk through that and really get your views on those key points. The first one was that he's looking to halve inflation. So that's a great soundbite. The commentators say that inflation probably has peaked. First question to you is, do you think inflation has peaked?
I think it's probably there or thereabouts peaked. But I think in terms of the soundbite that you gave, I think it's more complex behind it. Because I think if you look at what's driven inflation up until now, it's commodity prices increasing. It's the Ukraine-Russia war. It's coming out of COVID and suddenly that demand picking up and the impact on oil prices, etc. A lot of that is... It sounds glib, is one-off inflationary pressures, that if oil prices start to come down, that should sort itself out. I think the bigger challenge that the government's got is the more institutionalized inflation or making sure that it doesn't get built into the system, which is where they keep talking about and where we're seeing all the problems with regards salary increases in wage inflation. Because I think if wage inflation gets built in at 7-8%, you're not going to get headline inflation down, because that's actually a very corrosive factor. So I think almost the easy bit is to get inflation down from 10 or 11% down to 7%. The more difficult bit is to get it from 7% back down to 2%, where you know, we all want it to be.
Yeah, that's nicely explained, because I was going to ask you, is the job almost done? And it could, half the job will be done fairly straightforwardly by the sounds of it. It's interesting, isn't it, with the warm winter that we're getting, they're already talking about gas. We've got almost an oversupply of gas, which will mean the price of gas will come down, because obviously it's all about supply and demand, isn't it, which we've talked about before. Okay, that's good. So you've linked in there to the prices of jobs. That's not the right thing, prices of jobs, but the salaries. And one of the other key strands that Rishi Sunak announced was better paid jobs. Well, you've already said, I think, that could lead to inflation or could harden inflation. So how is that circle going to be squared?
I think what you have to do is to look at what is meant by better paid jobs. And better paid jobs isn't doing the same thing for more money. Better paid jobs is a higher skill level or a more efficient and effective job that allows people to be paid more because they're actually producing more as a result of it. Yeah. And I think that's the distinction that's got to be drawn there. This isn't about everyone suddenly getting a 10% pay rise and, hey, the world's great. It's actually the efficiency and effectiveness of people's roles that allows people to actually start to claw back some of that cost of living impact that we've had over the course of the last 12 months.
So in terms of simple economics, if productivity increases, then there's more supply, which then means that prices will go down. Is that how things would generally work, which would allow those better paid jobs, because of the productivity has gone up, prices go down, inflation isn't hit? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, very simplistically, if you can produce 10 units in a day and suddenly you can produce 15 units in a day, the answer is you will get a pay rise to reflect the fact that you can now produce more. And that's really what's being talked about, is that efficiency in the economy that's required to allow us to do more with the resources that we've got. That then allows people to get proper wage growth, as opposed to just inflationary growth, which almost just stagnates us as an economy.
Yeah, very good. Okay, excellent. Next point then was reducing NHS waiting times. So again, thinking about that simplistically, putting more money into the system will allow more staff, creates jobs. That's good, arguably, but it doesn't help the economy. We'll talk about debt in a moment. So how how does increasing or the ability, if you like, of the NHS, how is that going to help the economy? Is it, again, back to what you just said there about making it more efficient, not spending any more money? We don't know what the plans are at this stage, unless you've got more insight than me. But what are your thoughts around that and how that might affect the economy?
I guess I take a line of logic that says, A, we've got a short-term issue with the NHS, and then there's a more structural issue with the NHS, which needs to be resolved, and it's going to take a longer term. I guess for me, the link to the economy, to waiting times, is twofold. One is if you have a serious illness or you need an operation or, you know, your knees need to be done, if you're waiting a year or 2 years for that to happen, two things are going to happen. One is it's going to get you down. It's going to have an impact on you as an individual, your mental health and well-being. That's going to create social problems because it's not just you. It's then your family and your loved ones around you looking at you saying, this is crazy. Why are we waiting such a long period of time? But the second thing is that if you've got an issue that you need an operation and you're being told it's going to be 18 months before you can even be considered, and in your head you're thinking, well, it's not 18 months, it's probably 2 years. The question is, can you do your job properly? Can you be efficient in your job? Because if you can't, that's when it hits the economy. That's when the waiting times and waiting lists hit the economy. And, you know, and whether that's individuals working themselves, whether that's they've got spouses that need support and therefore people can't work properly, whether that's children that need operations and therefore the parents can't work effectively. There is that causal link, I think, between people's health and well-being and actually their ability to just do their jobs properly.
Makes perfect sense. On the wider question of the NHS and social care, is it time to really rethink the funding of that? And if the government don't want to increase tax to pay for that, is it time that we do move to more of an American method, that those that can afford it do have some form of insurance?
I guess the starting point is people already have that. You know, people have Bupa, employers offer schemes or whatever the case is. And maybe that's something that employers will consider more and more as part and parcel of the perk of someone's job. Actually, it benefits the employee, but also if someone's got something wrong with them, they can get it done next week as opposed to waiting for 2 years. You've then got the political side of it, and politically, no party is going to stick their head above the parapet and say, effectively, we're going to privatise the NHS.
Yeah.
I mean, whichever way you look at it and move into that American system, any hint or suggestion of that politically is going to be played up by the opposition as, yeah, you're just talking about privatisation of the NHS, which is a non-starter almost, you know, as the British public, no, actually, the NHS means so much. It got us through COVID, let's face it.
It's a vote loser, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Stay with us, Rob, and we'll talk some more about what Rishi Sunak said in a moment.